Thank you. God bless everyone. I'm so excited to be here and to be with you. We've been planning it for actually a long time, but it just came together this year, and I'm so excited, not only about the topic, but to meet and to get to fellowship with all of you. So when I first started teaching this, I think I published the book in 2018, and I was doing some teachings even before that, but we called it Our Surpassing Victory from Romans 8, you know, how we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, right? So we're going to be talking about so much of that. I want to open, well, first of all, I want to tell you, Tammy, bless her heart, she made these beautiful cards that are part of, they are the summary, and we'll be getting into those, so you can have those handy. And if you don't have a book already, we brought like 10 of them, so if you need to borrow one even, to use for this seminar, I'm going to be referring to a lot of the pages in the book. So hopefully you brought your book or you can get a book and look on with it. So that'll be great. But I want to open up by reading just the beginning of Ephesians 6. Because this is going to be the focus of what we're talking about. And I'm going to be reading a lot of times through from my translation. And Chris, maybe you can go grab one that we can, you know, show people, and they can pass it around actually. But it says, from now on. That means now, okay? Are we ready? Are we ready now? Okay, from now on, my brothers, be strong in our Lord and in the immensity of his power, and put on the whole armor of God. How much of it? Okay,
The
the
whole
whole
armor.
armor, so that you may be able to stand against the tactics of the accuser. The subtitle of the book is Exposing the Strategy of the Evil One. Once we expose his strategy, then he can no longer take advantage of us. We can expose it and then deal with it because God has given us everything we need in the armor of God. And it's also because, verse 12, your struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with rulers and with authorities and with the possessors of this dark world and with the evil spirits that are under heaven. Because of this, because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, okay? We don't wrestle against people. But because we are wrestling in a spiritual battle, put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to engage the evil one, and be prepared in everything, you will stand firm. That's my prayer, that we just learn more about this today and tomorrow too. And there's a really cool picture here. There's the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We're going to be talking a lot more about standing too and how to stand, but to withstand in the evil day. If you look at page 9, which is the very beginning page of the introduction in the book, it says that there's two main areas that this study is going to clarify, okay? And this is important to kind of lay the foundation. And it says that the action believers are responsible for and what is provided in our power base in Christ. This is the part we need to learn, like who we are in Christ and what he has given to us. And then the second part is the nature of the spiritual warfare, and then what the enemy's strategy is. So we're going to be talking a lot about the enemy and his strategy. But the purpose of it is so that we can be aware of the battle that we're in. And once, you know, 90% of winning the battle is knowing who your opponent is. And so the key is laid out in Ephesians 6, verse 10. And this is from the Aramaic too. I love this translation. From now on, you know, King James says finally, right? But from now on, it means everything that was all the whole other book of Ephesians, from Ephesians 1:1 all the way to 6:9, is about who we are in Christ and how to live it. So from now on, once we know a lot about that, we can be strong in our Lord. I love that. In our Lord, right? He's our Lord. Okay, here's the thing about this seminar. It's supposed to be interactive. You can raise your hand at any time. You can ask questions. You can comment and go, oh, I like that. Or answer things. Okay. we'll get you relaxed in about an hour. You'll feel like, oh, yeah, I can talk. Okay. It's not a lecture, all right? I don't do lectures anymore. I used to do a lot of lectures, but I don't do them anymore. So, okay, we're going to be strong in the immensity of his power. Immensity. Just let that sink in, okay? Power, like with a capital P, power. Power! I got power! I want to see you do this. I got power! All right. Now we just need to know, like, what that power is, right? So when we're talking about the armor, the main thing that I want to get across is, like, how can we practically apply it? It's not enough to just know, oh, this is the piece. I got my loin skirt on. I got the breastplate, you know. And it's good to know what those are. But the whole point of it is to be able to walk. Ephesians 1:19, if you want to look in your Bible there, it's a wonderful verse too, talking about our power, because this is not our power. Our power. That, you say that real fast. It's his power. It's his strength, right? It's the strength that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot manufacture that. We can't even like begin to comprehend the depth of the gift that God has given to us. Because he literally gave us the power that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we start seeing this and we start seeing the depth of it, then your mouth will be just kind of going on. Wow, you know, I know I have power, you know, we've talked about that a long, long time in a lot of fellowships, how we have power and we're more than conquerors. But I believe after today, you are going to know that you have immense power. So Ephesians 1:19 says, and this is the NET, which is a New English Translation. It's one of my favorites at the moment because it's really easy to understand. And what is the incomparable greatness of his power? Of whose power? Okay, we're getting this. All right. Toward us who believe, as displayed in the exercise of his immense strength. That kind of puts some depth to it, don't you think? Okay. So, you know, this particular first chapter or first session, I'm going to whip through about 45 pages of the book. So that's why in the introduction I had said, you know, please read the first 4 or 5 chapters, because I can't lay the whole foundation of it. But it is very important when you start on page 13, that chapter on the true title of our enemy. You know, there's all kinds of funny pictures of the devil with his pitchfork and the tail and his horns and all this stuff. Well, some of that's actually based on reality because he's for centuries now been hiding behind various names, which are really his principalities. His true name used to be Lucifer, and you can read about that, but now it is the evil one. That's what God calls him, the evil one. Like, he is evil through, 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 and through. But he hides behind, if you look on your chart, six different generals. Their principalities is what it calls it in Ephesians 6. Beelzebub, the devil, dragon, Satan. I used to always pronounce it Belial. I recently heard you're supposed to say Belial. So we'll talk about him later. Serpent. Okay, those six entities he has hidden behind for centuries. And even in the Bible, in the scriptures, one time it'll say Satan, one time it'll say the devil, one time it'll say Beelzebub. We just put those together. Anyway, so 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, I don't know about you, but I grew up saying adversary for all, for everything, to like cover it. Well, that's a softened version. We need to start saying not the adversary. We need to say, this was the devil. This was the dragon. This was the serpent. And really identify it. And you'll be seeing how I do that more and more. And then when we really want to talk about the overall purpose behind all of it, then you say the evil one. Because that's what God calls him. He calls him the evil one. So in this case, see, it's putting two names together. The adversary is actually the word Satan, and then the devil, and that's the accuser. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So right there you got a verse that combines two of the names of the principalities. And so one of the big things I want to talk about in this very first session is that I want everybody to think about picturing themselves waking up. And what do you do when you wake up? Well, let's look at Romans 13. This actually has a whole section about how we can wake up and really learn how to put on the armor. So I want to read the whole section to you, starting in verse 11. And this is also from my translation. And also know this, that it is the time and the hour. It's the what? Okay, that means right now. From now on, we should be awakened from our sleep. For now, our life has come nearer to us than when we believed. Even however many years you've been in the Word and learned to walk with the Lord and all these things, now is the time. Now is the time we stand. Now is the time we stand together, too. And we need to wake up. The night has passed, and the day is near. So we should lay aside from us the works of darkness, and we should put on the armor of light. It's calling it the armor of light. Note that, okay? And we should walk in this manner as in the day, not reveling and not in drunkenness and not in a defiled bed and not in envy and in strife, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not have regard for the desires that are in your flesh. So you've got key verses in here. You first got to wake up. Well, you think about, you get up in the morning, your eyes open and you go, okay, breathe. You know, I'm awake. Well, then we get up, you know, we get our pajamas off, we go in the shower, we wash the darkness away, right? And then we get prepared with new clothes. So putting on the armor of light is like putting on your clothes every day. And then you go out the door and go to work or do whatever. And then the last thing there, though, is to watch, where it says, do not regard for the desires that are in your flesh. And that word, have no regard, actually means to watch. So when we're going out the door to go on our daily business, we've got our armor on, we've woken up and all this stuff, but then the main thing that we need to do is start watching. And because the whole armor of God, it's like a protection from the evil one. But we have to watch in order to see it. Otherwise, we'll get sidetracked. Because he has had millennia to figure out how to deceive people. And so he's really good at it. And I'm sure we can testify to a lot of that. But I want to read Ephesians 5 and start in verse 8. It's going to be a lot of scripture in here, so if you've got your phone and you've got a Bible, you can look it up pretty fast. For you were first of all in darkness, but now are you light in our Lord. Therefore, so walk as sons of light. Look at the light coming in, right? It's shining. Oh, it's such a beautiful day out. But we're not in darkness. We're sons of light. And when there's light, it says the effects of the light are in all goodness and justification and faithfulness or truthfulness. For everything is exposed and is revealed by the light. And everything that reveals is light. So when you call the armor of God the armor of light, what you're doing is that it's going to expose all the darkness. When we put it on. Because of this, it is said, awake, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. Okay, so we're going to picture rising up from the dead here. We're waking out of sleep, no more slumber, and then we're going to put on the armor of light and just expose and lay aside all the works of darkness. There's another verse that's really cool, and that one is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. You can turn there. But I was thinking about in the Old Testament, they had walls around the city, right? A lot of the towns that were big enough had their own walls, and they would put a watchman on the wall. And then the watchman would be looking out all the time over the whole outside of where the city was to see if there was any enemies coming. And if there was an enemy that was coming, then he would sound the alarm and say, okay, get ready, you know, and the whole town then would get ready for any kind of attack that was going to come against their city. So God has called us to be watchmen. And this is not in the book, okay? There's a lot of things I'm going to be sharing this weekend that are maybe not necessarily in the book, but these are some of the things that God has really worked in me and to show me in the last few years about how to walk this stuff. And this particular part about waking up, being aware, watching, is just so crucial. And it's that we can do it for ourselves, we can do it for our families, but we really need to do it for the body, and especially the people who are close to you, who God has put in your path, who you minister to. And some of the things that I want us to see this weekend too is like how we can take, because I'm going to do this too. I'm going to go back to Colorado Springs, and I really want to implement this stuff in my fellowship. That we can put on the armor of God together. See? It's such a big deal. It's not just me. You know, I don't know, somehow we get this picture like I'm fighting the adversary by myself. I'm one guy. I can do it. You know, all this stuff. Well, I'm going to share with you a little story. You know, I have my youngest granddaughter right now is 2.5. Her name is Mia, and she's a little doll, but of course I'm prejudiced. But she is, actually. And she's at the stage where she's all about, I can do it! Me do it! Me do it! And the latest phrase is, I got this! And then she's tried so hard, you know, whether it's buckling something or doing something like that. And then she realizes that she can't do it. And, you know, her mom is really great. She's been training her to ask for help. So then she just goes, help. Like, I wanted to do it by myself. I can't do this. I can't do this, right? Well, that's what we all say. We were trained since we were really little to go, I've got this. Mm-mm. No. Help. First to God and the Lord and then to each other. So I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 16. It's so succinct. It's like, watch. Okay, we got the watch part right. Stand in the faith. Act mature and be strong. Okay, we need to just wake up and we're just going to make a pact right now to decide that we are not going to be people of the world anymore. We're going to be and we're going to live in the one body of Christ with power, with love, with no fear, helping each other to stand. No. We're not going to get affected by the fear that's in the news. We're not going to stuff it and go, I can do this myself. No, we're just going to put that down and go, no, I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch for me, for my family, and for you. And I'm going to stand in the faith, and then I'm going to act mature. That's a funny translation, but it's like I read a different one that was like, behave like a mensch. You know, be a man. Just get over it already. Yeah, you can't do this by yourself. Just get over it. Yeah, are you done with that yet? Right. Stand up, you know, grow up and go, okay, all right, I'm in a family. I can do this. When I'm in my family, all right? So we get strengthened together and we do this together. So this is what I call the big put on. And it starts on page 20. 20, yeah. It's about our spiritual clothing. And 20 to 25. But we have the victory with the big put on. And the put on is a play on words. So it contrasts the tactics of the enemy, which are always about, I can do it myself. And instead that we put on what God says that we should put on. And there's several ways to say it. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was in Romans 13 that we read. And you have to say that. Okay, I want you to say it with me. You have to say it slowly. It's not like, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord. Stop. Lord Jesus and Christ. Okay, those three names summarize the entire armor of God. So we're going to see that, how they work. But it's also called the new man. That's in Ephesians 4:24, and we read about the armor of light. And then there's several places where it's called the armor of God. So the armor of God is not just this isolated illustration in Ephesians 6 where you go, oh, that's nice. Okay, this guy has a sword. He has a breastplate. And, you know, it's kind of a cool picture. But what it really is a summary of everything we have in Christ. And if you look on your little chart here, you can see it. You know, another way it's called the Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So, but Christ is just one of the names. When we really see the armor, we'll see that the first part is Lord, and there's two pieces that go with Lord. That's the gird up your loins with truth and the sword of the Spirit. And then the two pieces that go with Jesus are the breastplate and the helmet. And the two pieces that go with Christ are the sandals and the shield. And so the complete covering of the armor is in those three names, Lord, Jesus, Christ. When you have one thing, when it says put on the new man, right? It says put on the new man. And then it says put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that they're equal. Do you see that? So the new man is the whole armor of God. When we talk about the new man, there's, you know, so many verses. Ephesians 4, though, is the one I want to look at just a little bit here. Because when you want to understand what put on means, you have to understand what put off is. Okay, so Ephesians 4:22 says, but you have learned that you should strip off your former ways of life. Your what? Strip them off. Just like dirty clothes in the morning or your dingy pajamas or whatever. You strip them off. You know, I share in the book about, you know, running 5 miles and being all sweaty in the mud and all this stuff. But well, you don't go, oh, I think I'll take my shirt off now. No, you just strip it off, right? You strip them off as quickly as possible and throw it in the wash machine. So you strip off your former ways of life, the old man. Okay, so there's a new man and then there's an old man who was corrupted. The old man was corrupted by the lusts of deceit. We go, why do I always have all these problems? You know? Well, it's because we had an old nature that we were born with in Adam, and we received that with no fault of our own, right? We didn't like go, I want the nature of Adam. Right? But we got it. And sometimes I've thought about this, and I actually am writing a new book about the names of Jesus and stuff, and one of them is about how we were made in the image of Adam, but now we're made in the image of Christ. If God had not passed down the nature of Adam through every single person following in his progeny, then he would not have also been able to pass on Christ in you, the fullness of Christ, to every individual only by their believing. When we confess Jesus as Lord and we believe God raised him from the dead, we get the image of Christ. Otherwise, if it wasn't like that, if it wasn't like everything after its kind, the way God set it up at the beginning, then we would have had to earn our own salvation. And we couldn't do it. Yeah. Right. So it's passed on just like we're children of Adam. We are also children of the one true God. Just like Jesus Christ. So we start seeing what the new man is so much bigger than this old man. Then you should put on the new man who was created by God by justification and the pardoning of faithfulness. So I want to ask you a question just for you to think about. Like one of the things in this one is in this session, the question I really want you to zero in on. And that's why we gave you kind of notebooks to write in, because I'm going to have a little bit of assignments to do. but this one is like, how do you see your spiritual clothing? What do you see it? I just now tried to paint you a picture about how big it is, how powerful it is, and how it's complete in our Lord Jesus Christ. But when you talk about the old man, and it says strip it off, it doesn't mean sit there and analyze it and go, what am I doing wrong? Why am I like this? What is happening to me? Right? It just says strip it off and put on the new man. Because once you put on the new man, the old man just kind of like goes by the wayside. But I've heard people teach, and, you know, it's a I don't know, you could have a big discussion about it. And I kind of, you know, I was thinking after that, during the break, it's something that you guys could talk about with each other too. Is the old man dead? Well, is he dead? Okay. But it's, we have to reckon or count him dead because he still, it still is in our nature. We still have it in our nature. And that's why there's this conflict all the time. It's like, is he really dead? Well, if he's dead, then how come he rears up his ugly head all the time? You know, and you catch yourself doing some lie or whatever it is, you know, having to deal with some of the things in our lives. So when I really learned that it wasn't that it was completely dead, it's that I had to count it to be dead. And once I put on the new man, I became a totally different person. Like I used to be really shy. I used to not want to talk in front of anybody. I used to like, you know, cringe inside, have butterflies in my stomach all the time, you know, think about getting up in front of somebody, just even that. And now I'm like, hey, let me talk to whoever, you know, watch out. Here comes the Son of God. God has just totally changed my personality because I was really, really introverted. And I'm much happier with a book than, you know, talking in front of people. But look at what he did. You know, it's what you get when you put on a new man. So just the last thing before we take a break, I want to look at 1 John 5. And this is, let me see what page it's on here. Oh, yeah, 45, I believe. I told you we were going to flip to 45. 1 John 5 and then verse 5. Let me see if I have a slide here. Okay, we're going to look at this. This is on your card, too. It says, this is the New American Standard. But who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believed that Jesus is the Son of God? So we all believe Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. But this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. And when you say Christ, you're saying the Messiah or the Anointed One. Not with water only, but with water and blood. So this passage is a little bit hard to understand. So I want to explain to you how Lord Jesus and Christ are also paralleled with water, spirit, and blood. It's on your chart here. Blood has to do with Jesus. Spirit has to do with Christ because he's the Anointed One, and the Word has to do with who is Lord in your life. And it says in 1 John, then verse, I guess it's 7, it is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are in agreement. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for the witness of God is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. So the witness concerning his Son is that he is Lord, he is Jesus, or the Savior, and he is Christ. And that corresponds to the water of the Word, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit that he's given to us. So all those terms are parallel, and that's how we will see that we can understand the whole armor of God, because they correspond with each other. And so then the overview is that you have what we have in Christ and the action we take, and then what the clothing means and who is it against. So all those principalities, there's only six of them, so there are six pieces that go directly against them. And that's what we'll be learning about starting after 20-minute break. Is that right? Yay! Okay.